Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, in an effort to keep us up to date on all the latest happenings, we get the right people in here to talk about stuff. Well, a guy who's been in the thick of the stuff is John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, who just had a weekend where the nominee, I mean, he's one of 50 people that have a job like his, and he just watched the nominee get an assassination attempt, survive an assassination attempt. Then he went through the most incredible Republican National Convention maybe in history, and then he had the Democrat nominee resign. It's a fluid environment, and John Wall's on the phone right now. Chairman John Wall, how you doing? John, you there? Did we lose him? John Wall. All right.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
There he is. Yeah, we got you. We got you back now.
Doing well. Good to be on the show. And you've forgotten that list of things. International problem with flights is all my delegates are trying to get home from Milwaukee. So a fun week politically.
Yeah. So the conspiracy theory just ramped up another notch. I'm just saying. Well, so listen, let me just, I tell you what, before I go any further, let me just get your perspective on the amount of, like, the wind burn you must have from watching the winds of change happen around you every day.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's incredible. I especially that assassination attempt. You know, I was sitting at a desk in Milwaukee working on the convention, and I got a phone call from another one of my staff or another state chairman or something. They're like, John, turn on the TV. You know, as I watched that, I really realized just what we are facing right now.
Yeah. This is a
time in history that our country, as a country, I don't think we have ever seen this situation quite to this extent, where you have an assassination attempt and then a major party pulling their nominee the next week. Folks, you are watching history. And this is going to be an election year that goes down for the rest of our country's life.
It really is, man. I mean, you signed up for it. Did you have any idea to be like this? Good Lord.
I don't think anybody could. I'll tell you, I was doing an interview on Biden pulling out. And I was like, look, what you're seeing here, because this was not Biden pulling out. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
This was the Democrat machine, the elites within the Democrat Party, pushing Biden out. He didn't want to leave. He did not want this to happen. But the Democrat Party, they don't work bottom up, grassroots. They work top down, and they pushed him out. And I think this is what highlights what we've been saying as a whole, as a Republican Party. These, and I'm just going to call them globalists. I don't know what name you want to use. These deep state bureaucrats, globalists, whatever. They are so desperate to hold on to power that they will do anything to keep themselves in control.
Yeah. Well, that's...
And, it goes back to the lies they spread about Donald Trump, the Russian hoax, move forward, the court cases weaponizing the justice system. And now when all of that has failed, now they're going after their own in a desperate attempt to try to save this thing and be able to hold on to power this November.
It really boggles the mind, you know, and I look at it and think, first of all, you can smell the desperation from a mile away, but Kamala is not necessarily, now she got the late breaking endorsement, because if you noticed, Biden didn't endorse her in the first tweet. It was a second tweet that did the endorsement. But they say she's raised a lot of money in the last 24 hours. And is she going to be the nominee? But what's her process? I mean, how are they going to do this? And by the way, John, how are they going to do this in compliance with state laws that require the ballots to be changed by a certain date?
Well, okay, so that's a great question right there, because, you know, everybody's thinking about the Democratic National Convention coming up, after, you know, end of August. But that is not the deadline we're really looking at here. Before Biden dropped out, the DNC was saying they were going to hold a virtual roll call and make their nomination the first week in August. Do we see that continue? Because if they miss that deadline, we're not going to see a Democrat presidential candidate on the ballot in Ohio.
No.
So there's a lot of questions still that have to be answered by the DNC, by the Democrats, of are they going to move forward with the virtual roll call? I think they have to. Otherwise, they just take themselves off the ballot in several states, which is just going to be a train wreck for the Democrat Party.
Well, yeah, like a bigger train wreck, like the rest of the cars go off the track.
So the train is already off the track, but this basically rolls it off a cliff.
Well, so, all right, so what is their process? Do you know, and I realize you're the chairman of the Republican Party in Alabama, but what are they going to hold a Zoom call to get this done? Because that is a bit, I mean, a lot of folks don't realize that it's not just election day. There's the prep time in advance to get all the ballots ready, because even the absentee ballots, and for the states who do early voting, those have to be done, typically speaking, a couple of months in advance at a minimum.
No, that's correct. And different states have different laws in place. And you're correct. You know, as a Republican, we have our act together. We're not facing these questions. But a good adversary knows what his opponent has to do and knows the field. So, to answer your question, there's two or three states that their election laws say that the nominee of that party has to be submitted and recognized officially by the nominating process by a date in mid-August before the Democrats' convention, which means in order for the Democrat nominee to appear on the ballot in these states, Ohio being the biggest and the most noteworthy, in order for the Democrat nominee to be on the ballot, they will have to do a virtual roll call before that time frame. And that's why they were looking at the first week of August. I know that originally they were looking at August 6th or 7th for a possible virtual call to do that roll call and nominate. I think they're going to have to try to stay on track with that. So I think we will see a virtual call, unless, and this is the big question mark, what do they do if Kamala Harris over the next week or two doesn't meet their expectations? Yeah. Maybe she's not performing better in the polls. I'm not taking out the table. We're dealing with ruthless people here. I'm not taking out the table that we could see a third person enter into this. I don't think Kamala has this locked up by any means.
Well, that's the question I think that's out there. And here's one of the things, and we're spitballing. I know that. I know this is like speculation, but if a whistleblower comes forward and says that his health was such a crisis in the White House and everybody knew it, and Kamala refused to invoke the 25th because of fear of what it would do to her career, I think that crushes her campaign.
Well, I agreed. And look, I think we all know that somehow that debate performance caught the mainstream media off guard. The vast majority of Americans, and I'll be willing to say the pretty much all of us Republicans, we knew to the extent that Joe Biden was suffering. Like this was not a surprise for us. And so, yeah, it becomes a question. If all of a sudden you don't think Joe Biden is fit to run for office, well, has he been fit to serve over the last few years? And the answer is probably no.
Yeah.
And Kamala Harris's problems go deeper than that, though, because the reason Joe Biden is slipping in the polls is not because he's old. It's not because of his debate performance. It's not because of anything like that. It's because of the failure of his policies.
Well, it is.
Whether that's the border, national security, safety, keeping our community safe, the woke indoctrination of our children. And Kamala Harris has been, as his vice president, has been integral in every single one of those issues.
No,
so I'm not sure the American people react any better to her.
I don't know that they will either. And that's the thing we're going to have to watch, is we're going to have to stay on message. The message right now is not to get tied up in the personalities, but to stay on the policies, because no matter who they put in place, it's the policies that are going to make the difference. And we're running against the policies. And she was tied to the policies.
That's absolutely right. Like she is the Biden administration. Like she is part of that Biden administration that has completely failed the American public.
Well, listen, man, on a more positive note, you had quite the week. Give us a few minutes. We got about 2 or 3 minutes left here. Give us a little bit of breakdown of what it was like to be in your position as a state party chair at one of the most incredible Republican national conventions maybe in history.
Well, they tell me it was great. My memory's a little fuzzy because I didn't get like any downtime or much sleep. No, it was really an incredible experience. The programming during the RNC at night, as well as the events that we hosted. You know, as chairman of the Southern Region for the RNC, as well as being state party chairman, had a Southern Region event at American Family Field. a lot of great guests there. A lot of Southern governors, senators. I did some stuff with Vivek Ramaswamy and some. Probably my favorite moment of the convention, for me personally, was getting in a little bit of a humorous spat with Nigel Farage.
Oh, really?
He came to an event that I was hosting, and as I was introducing him, I made the mistake of mentioning the vision of our founding fathers and quoting them. And so I looked over and I was like, "My apologies, sir, for quoting American founding fathers to an Englishman," which sparked a fun back and forth with him over the monarchy versus the American Constitution. But a great week. I don't think you can, when I think back to the speeches we saw and the heartfelt things we heard from Trump's family, from his granddaughter, from Laura Trump talking about how her watching Donald Trump as a grandfather, his grandchildren having to watch that footage of him getting shot at that rally, like just the emotions with that, and then take that all the way to the other side of the emotional spectrum, listening to Tucker Carlson, and one of my personal favorite speakers of the event, Hulk Hogan, and his energy, just what an experience.
I mean, we kind of ran the gamut, didn't we? Hulk Hogan, Tucker Carlson, Mike Pompeo, Franklin Graham, Kid Rock. I mean, wow.
You had it all. I told the Trump team after that I ran into one of Trump's senior advisors in the elevator Thursday night, and I said, whoever made the call to put Hulk Hogan and Franklin Graham back to back, I don't know whether they should be fired or given a raise, but that was a fascinating back-to-back in the speaking order.
Well, I heard that Hulk Hogan actually accepted Christ and was baptized not long ago, so maybe he and Franklin Graham got along pretty well in the backstage. Who knows?
Hopefully so, yes. Well, and both those gentlemen gave an incredible performance.
They did.
I shouldn't say even performance. They both spoke from their heart in a very different style.
Both
from their heart at what our country is facing and what's really at stake here.
Well, we got a ways to go. I mean, I think it's real clear that the Democrats are in disarray, but we cannot take anything for granted. We got to run like scalded dogs for 100 days.
No, that's absolutely right. And the Democrats are going to come together, whoever it is, whether it's Kamala Harris or whether it's someone else, after they officially nominate their candidate. They're going to come together. The mainstream media is going to come on board. And we are at the high water mark now. They will be pushing hard and gaining ground the entire time. And so I think you're right. It's incredibly important. This is not one. This is still a battle. And they're going to be unified, and they're going to be vicious. They will not stop at anything to win this race.
More to come. Listen, we need to have you on the show a few times between now and the election just to make sure we stay up with all the fluidity of the events. All right?
I'll look forward to it. Always good to be on the show.
All right. Thanks. John Wall, Chairman, Alabama Republican Party. We appreciate you and what you do. We'll have you back on soon. All right. Wow. That's just, he was in the thick of things, man. That's very cool. All right. Listen, we got a great show still going. Y'all stay tuned. We got more. I'm going to take some text messages and then take us into the what did they say section. Like, what are people around Alabama, around the region, around the nation, around the world saying about the announcement about Joe Biden? I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.